Good morning. It's good to be here with you this morning. I wish things were different and our sanctuary was full, but I know that many of you are watching online, and I appreciate it. It's good to be with you this morning. I want to open us up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for being here with us this morning. Lord, I just pray that as we worship at home, Lord, that you just open our hearts, open our minds, that we hear your word. Lord, just bless us with your grace. Lord, I just pray that each person that is listening hears your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, good morning. It's good to be here. It's good to be talking to you this morning. It's a beautiful morning. Got a sermon prepared for you, but before I get to that, I just want to give you a little bit of background on this sermon. This sermon actually changed directions midweek on what I wanted to preach this week, and the reason is I've been reading and praying through Psalm 25 for the last several days now. A young Marine that I loved dearly passed away a couple weeks ago. He's a young man that I saw grow into a remarkable young man, and his family called me and asked me if I would preach his graveside, which happens to be tomorrow. And as I was reading through this, the reason why I started reading through it is the only request the family gave me. His dad asked me if I would read Quentin's favorite verse or favorite scripture, which is Psalm 25. And again, I've been reading and praying through this scripture for several days now, and what I've come to realize is while it may be Quentin's favorite scripture, this week it's truly meant for me. And as I go through this sermon, as I relate back to David's thoughts, I just pray that you gain confidence and hope. And again, today I'm just going to share with you some of the things that I've learned from studying and praying through this chapter. I want to start out by reading the scripture. And again, it is Psalm 25. And this is David, the psalmist, writing. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions according to your steadfast love. Remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant or in his decrees. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who are they that fear the Lord? He will teach them the way that they should choose. They will abide in prosperity, and their children shall possess the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me, be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and bring me out of distress. Consider my afflictions and my troubles and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. O guard my life and deliver me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. My integrity and my uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of his troubles, out of all its troubles. And again, this is the word of God for the people of God, and thanks be to God. Again, I have read that scripture many, many times this week, and I've prayed, and I've thought about my friend, and I've looked, and the only thing that I could come up with is I don't truly understand everything. I'm not going to stand here and pretend that I do, but I do know where my trust is. My trust is in the Lord, and this chapter, this psalm, David reminds me of that. And as I read through and study this psalm, I notice that it has four distinct parts. The first part is confidence in God. The second part is a call to God. The third part is the character of God. And the fourth part puts confidence in God and a call to God together. In other words, we have an action statement in this fourth part. Again, the first part I want to talk to you about is confidence in God. Oh Lord, I trust in you. See, the first part of this psalm describes the confidence that David has in the Lord. David, he begins by saying, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O God, I trust in you. See, David, in essence, is saying he completely is handing over his life to God. David is lifting up his life to God because he has that much trust in God. You see, I suggest to you this trust in God is looking for his followers to exhibit. Being a disciple of Jesus is about completely giving your life to him. You see, this is the concept that Jesus was teaching us about when he's telling us that we must take up our cross and follow him daily. We must commit ourselves to following Jesus every day. We must have this much trust in him. Again, in God's hand, we entrust our life. You see, I will not be ashamed. David gives the reason why he's putting his life into God's hand. You see, he's not born on what we call blind faith. David knows. David knows indeed. Let no one who waits on you be ashamed. You see, that's an emphatic statement that David is putting his confidence, all of his confidence in God. You see, there's a tone such as this throughout Scripture. If we look in the New Testament, in Luke, Jesus says, if anyone is ashamed of me, in my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in glory. You see, again, David says this emphatically, that no one who trusts the Lord will ever be disappointed. Don't mean we'll never go through hard times, but when we trust the Lord, we trust that we're going to come through those hard times. You see, David makes three appeals to the Lord. The first appeal is made in verse 4 when he says, show me your ways. O Lord, teach me your paths. You see, this is the attitude we must adopt toward God. Do we really want to be taught by God? Do we really want to know the way of the Lord? Those are questions we must ask ourselves. You see, often, more often than not, we want God to lead us when he's leading us where we want to go. Again, we want God to lead us when he's leading us where we want to go. You see, we want to hear and see the things that we want to hear and see, but can we truly trust God to deliver us without questioning, without knowing exactly where we're going? We're going down to verse 21, and there's an element of patience there. You see, we want things to happen immediately. Sometimes God tells us to wait for his guidance. But again, we live in a world of instant gratification, and we're looking for that instant gratification, but sometimes God tells us to wait. You see, David's second appeal to God is that he remembers him in his mercy and love. You see, what a great thought. After asking God for guidance and teaching, David now requests patience. Show me mercy and steadfast love, because I'm not always going to choose to do what is right. Be patient with me, Lord. You see, we always need to call out for God's mercy and love. We always need God's patience. David's third appeal is to forget his previous sins. He wants God to forget about his previous sins. You see, everyone, including me, can look back at our lives and think about some of the things we did, some of the things we still do. And we need that forgiveness. We need that forgiveness of our past transgressions. You see, this appeal is for forgiveness, not based on anything that we do, but based on who God is. You see, this great blessing is found under the new covenant of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah prophesied of the day when a new covenant would be established. Then the writer of Hebrews quotes the prophecy and says that the new covenant was established by Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. See, God has promised to forget our past sins and not bring them to mind again. We have hope and confidence in this when we are trusting in the Lord. The third section that David writes about is the character of God. He talks about the character of God. David now lists a couple of attributes of God's character. He says, he says that the Lord is upright, he is good, he's steadfast, he's faithful in his ways. Again, this section seems to be about adoration. It seems to be about praising God. See, in verse 8, David's reason is the Lord teaches sinners in his way when they trust in him. But David also makes a point that we're called or supposed to be humble. We're supposed to have humility, and that's the way we're supposed to live. David goes on, he points out his weaknesses, and I started thinking about my weaknesses. And God's forgiveness, God's mercy takes away my sin, but that does not mean that I need to be left in my sin. I need to change. I need to take care of the things that have kept me from growing my relationship with Christ. That's what David's talking about here. We have to live in humility and recognize our weaknesses and be willing to change. And again, I just want to ask a question. Are you living humbly? Or do you live in humility? You see, when we look at our example for humility, it's Jesus Christ. By his actions, he showed us humility. Philippians 2:7 makes this very point. Paul says we need to have the same mind and attitude that Christ had. Verse 7 says that Christ humbled himself. How did he do that? See, the rest of the verse says he became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. Humility is not a thought, but it's a shown. It's an action. You see, Jesus showed us this humility through dying on the cross, submitting himself to the will of the Father. Are we practicing humility? David goes on and says, God shows his faithfulness and steadfast love. He does it to all of us, sinners. But we're called to keep his covenant. God's not only calling for a change of attitude, he's also calling for a change of our choices. Again, God's not just calling for a change in our attitude. He wants a change in our attitude, but he wants a change in the choices we make every day. The final part, the fourth part, kind of puts our confidence in God and a call to God together. See, God rewards those who trust him. See, David, in this fourth section of this psalm, He now expresses the reward of putting our trust in God. The first point is that we'll be instructed by God, and we have no better teacher than the Lord himself. David also says that those who fear and trust in the Lord will abide in his goodness. Are we abiding in his goodness? We'll also inherit his blessings. We'll actually be a friend of the Lord. Which in James 2, James refers to Abraham as a friend of the Lord. Which was a rare term because we didn't look in the Old Testament as being kinship or friendship with God. But now through Jesus and that relationship we have with Jesus, we truly have a friend in God. And we are God's friends. You see, God's followers are his friends. We have that friendship. We have that kinship. God's will is revealed to us. We know what we ought to do because God's revealing his will to us every day. It's our choice to follow that will. And sometimes we just need to be rescued by God. Sometimes we find ourselves in a trap. We find ourselves in a place we don't want to be. And we turn to God, and God's there to give us that deliverance. He delivers us from those trials. He delivers us from those temptations because he's God. You see, David didn't speak of these things in the future tense. So he's not talking about when we die and go to heaven. He's talking about right now. We're living this relationship with God. He's not going to leave us alone. He's going to be there for us. You see, God says to turn to me. Or David asked God to turn and be gracious to him. You see, these are David's final pleas in this chapter. Up to this point, he would not have known that. We wouldn't have known that David was in a time of trial, but now he reaches out to God and asks him to save him from his loneliness. He's lonely and afflicted. He's asking God to keep get him out of that. Bring me out of this state that I'm in. You see, I'm distressed. I need you, God. And forgive me of my sins. David again asked for forgiveness. He asked for this forgiveness in verse 7 and in verse 11. We can't ask God to forgive us enough. We've got to be humble. We have to humble ourselves before the Lord. We need his forgiveness. David goes on to pray for his foes. David's calling for justice. And then he asks God to guard him and deliver him. Man, have you ever needed deliverance? I know this is a tough time right now. And I'm praying to God to deliver us so we can get back to worshiping him the way we love to seeing our family members we haven't seen in a few weeks. I'm asking God to deliver us from this time. David also asked God to preserve him in God's integrity. In other words, in the integrity of God's where we need to live. That integrity of God's what we need to strive for. And finally, David asked God to redeem Israel, to take care of his nation. You see, David wasn't content to simply think of himself, but he was also thinking of his people. I ask that when we pray, and when we pray through this scripture, we pray as we go on, that we don't just pray for ourselves, but we pray for everybody. Everybody's in the situation that we're in today. And the Lord's going to deliver us. You see, I just want to give you three reminding thoughts before I close. The first one is we need to trust in God because he never disappoints. God's goodness is upright, it's faithful, and he's steadfast in showing his love to us. You see, we see the blessings we've received now for putting our trust in God. Again, that's the kind of trust that David showed in God, and that's what we're called to do. Let me pray. Dear Lord, again, just I pray that you draw us nearer and nearer to you, Lord. I pray that you're with each member of Chestnut Hill United Methodist Church, each member of all the churches, Lord, who love you, Lord. I just pray your mercy upon us, Lord. I pray that you're with us, Lord, and I pray that you bring us out of this time, Lord. I pray for our country. I pray for the leaders of our country, Lord. I pray for our world leaders that we can find a solution and get back to worshiping you and getting back to things that we love, Lord. We know that you're in control. We love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen. And again, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. I pray that these words speak to you. I pray that you have a wonderful week. And now I just ask that God's Holy Spirit goes with each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.